When Dr. Sharon Saleen's brother struggled with undiagnosed attention issues during their childhood, she couldn't have known this experience would inspire her groundbreaking work with ADHD families. What Your ADHD Child Wishes You Knew has become a cornerstone text for parents navigating the complex terrain of raising children with attention differences, earning praise from celebrities like Adam Levine and Jessica McCabe, who have openly discussed their own ADHD journeys. The book's revolutionary approach, actually listening to children with ADHD, has transformed thousands of families' lives by creating stronger connections and reducing household conflict. Unlike traditional parenting manuals that focus solely on behavior management, Saleen's work has gained traction for its compassionate, child-centered methodology that addresses the emotional underpinnings of ADHD behaviors rather than just their outward manifestations. The foundation of Dr. Saleen's approach is her 5 C's framework: self-control, compassion, collaboration, consistency, and celebration. This isn't just another set of parenting techniques. It's a comprehensive philosophy that transforms how parents understand and respond to their ADHD children. Self-control forms the cornerstone of this approach because, as Saleen emphasizes, no parent can effectively guide an emotionally dysregulated child if they themselves are triggered. Simple breathing techniques become powerful tools in these moments. Nostril breathing, alternating breath through each nostril, chest breathing, hand on chest while taking deep breaths, and flower/candle breathing, inhaling as if smelling a flower, exhaling as if blowing out a candle. These practices help parents achieve mindfulness, the ability to notice feelings without immediately acting on them. The critical difference in challenging situations lies in whether parents react with criticism and blame or respond with patience and validation. As one father noted about improving his relationship with his son, "I am trying to stay calmer and listen more." This isn't about parental perfection, but demonstrating through example that better options exist when emotions run high. Compassion means truly seeing your child where they actually are, with empathy and patience, within their developmental context. Rick and Kevin's story illustrates this beautifully. When negotiating about high school honors classes, Rick ultimately met his son where he was, anxious about transition but strong in math and science, creating a solution addressing both their needs. Compassion also encompasses forgiveness, especially crucial with the ADHD brain that focuses on the present and doesn't hold grudges. Parents need to have conversations within their child's 24-hour memory window, ensure accountability, then reset and move forward. Collaboration involves approaching problems with a we attitude instead of a you attitude. Children with ADHD typically receive constant negative feedback and directives, but they'd rather work together to find solutions. The collaborative approach means having planned conversations where both parent and child share perspectives, identify areas of agreement about what isn't working, brainstorm ideas without judgment, and choose changes to try together. This model invites participation that fosters cooperation, making children feel seen, heard, and valued. Consistency means following through on what you say repeatedly, responding similarly to recurring behaviors, and standing firm despite pressure to change. It's not about perfection, but establishing clear guidelines that matter to both parent and child. Children with ADHD benefit tremendously from predictability, which helps guide their choices and strengthens their understanding of cause and effect relationships. Consistent parents recognize that setbacks are learning opportunities, not failures. Celebration is not superficial cheerleading, but authentic observation that reframes negatives into positives and notices small successes children with ADHD often dismiss. It involves giving direct, precise, positive comments about specific actions. Research suggests a 3-to-1 ratio of positive to negative statements leads to more satisfying lives. Effective praise is immediate, specific, and addresses both efforts and accomplishments. Having children repeat praise back helps build neural pathways in working memory. Many children with ADHD don't truly understand their condition or how it affects them, often relying on parents to explain it. When both parents and children grasp the biology behind ADHD, it becomes a source of hope and empowerment rather than something mysterious or shameful. ADHD has been observed in medical literature for over 200 years, evolving from hyperactive child syndrome to its current name. It's defined as a persistent pattern of inattention and/or hyperactivity that interferes with functioning or development, and comes in three types: inattentive, hyperactive, and combined. This biologically based condition affects approximately 5% of children worldwide and about 11% of American children, with boys diagnosed twice as often as girls, though girls tend to be diagnosed later. The ADHD brain differs structurally from neurotypical brains. Certain areas are smaller, thinner, and less active, affecting attention, behavior management, emotional regulation, memory systems, and communication between brain regions. The ADHD brain also matures more slowly, with up to a 3-year developmental lag, particularly in the prefrontal cortex. Additionally, ADHD brains have imbalances in neurotransmitters like dopamine and norepinephrine, which influence attention, thinking, sleep, moods, and movement. Everyone with ADHD struggles with executive functioning, complex brain processes predominantly in the prefrontal cortex that help accomplish goals, like a film director coordinating all aspects of production. These skills fall into two categories: hot skills, conscious, behavior-related, including inhibition, emotion management, and action, organization, time management, planning, and cool skills, unconscious, thinking-related, including energy, recall, working memory, focus, and self-evaluation. 9-year-old Liam's experience illustrates these challenges. In orchestra rehearsal, I got in trouble. First, I couldn't find the right music. Then I stood up to ask when the performance was. Similarly, 15-year-old Destiny, with divorced parents, finds managing possessions between two households overwhelming. I hate switching places. It's so chaotic. While all parents initially serve as their children's external executive functions, kids with ADHD need this scaffolding longer as their brains mature more slowly, often into their late 20s. Aiding your child in mastering routines means transitioning from telling them what to do to them telling themselves what to do. This self-talk is crucial. When your child talks through tasks aloud, they're building essential executive functioning skills. Many children with ADHD have accompanying challenges, learning differences, mental health issues, or both. Learning differences occur in 45 to 71% of kids with ADHD, most commonly affecting reading, math, and written expression. Writing difficulties are most prevalent, 2 times more common than reading or math challenges, because executive functioning issues complicate organization, working memory, attention to detail, and planning. Mental health issues also frequently accompany ADHD. Almost half of children with hyperactive or combined ADHD types experience disruptive behavioral issues. Anxiety and depression are also common, with anxiety increasing agitation and distractibility, while depression feeds on negative self-messaging. These conditions require professional attention, as untreated mood issues raise the risk for substance abuse among teens with ADHD. 13-year-old Maya offers a refreshing perspective on her ADHD. "Having ADHD is like a thorn in my butt, but I laugh anyway." When her mother told her about her diagnosis in second grade, Maya felt special rather than stigmatized, even creating the nickname Bullet Brain for herself. Now as a teen, she's developed coping strategies, including medication, therapy, and most importantly, a sense of humor. She's trained herself to smile at her mistakes, turning regrets into moments of acceptance, water under the bridge. Acceptance unfolds in 3 distinct phases guided by the 5 C's framework. Phase 1 focuses on family reactions to the diagnosis, using self-control to manage emotions and compassion to understand how ADHD affects everyone. Parents' reactions typically fall on a spectrum from relief, viewing the diagnosis as a life raft after years of confusion, to distress, fearing permanent impairment. Children's reactions vary widely, from relief to shame to a mix of both. Many initially perceive the diagnosis as meaning something is wrong with them. Many children create personal nicknames for their condition that feel more comfortable than the clinical term: fast brain, bully brain, ADLS, attention deficit, oh look, there's a squirrel. this minute only brain, or idea brain. These personalized terms help children reframe ADHD in ways that feel less foreign or stigmatizing. Compassion is essential for understanding your child's ADHD experience. Start by asking, how does this news affect you? And truly listening to their response. Observe their behaviors, imagine walking in their shoes, and note how ADHD manifests uniquely in them. Balance awareness of their challenges with recognition of their strengths. Remember what you love about your child to see difficult behaviors as signs of frustration rather than personal weakness. As 16-year-old Sophia wisely noted, I want to spend more time on the parts of me that I like. I already have to spend too much time on the parts of me that I don't like. Phase 2 employs collaboration to brainstorm better ways of living with ADHD. Once your child comprehends their ADHD and feels understood by you, you can partner to identify what's working well and what needs improvement. Through conversations about all aspects of their lives, encourage them to brainstorm what they'd like to change and why. 12-year-old Taylor and her mother Natalie demonstrate effective collaboration to resolve household chore conflicts. Their pattern wasn't working, Taylor dropping belongings around the house and not responding to reminders, while Natalie felt like a reminder machine who resorted to yelling. When asked about ideal solutions, Taylor suggested a whiteboard system with clear tasks and monetary rewards, while Natalie wanted follow-through with minimal reminders. Their compromise? A chart tracking daily responsibilities with points toward a weekly allowance. This collaborative approach gave both parties something they valued. Taylor earned money while Natalie got household help, making success more likely than one-sided demands. Phase 3 centers on consistency in supporting improvements and celebration of progress made. Consistency proves most challenging during difficulties, as illustrated by the example of a 13-year-old girl's weekly room cleaning agreement with clear consequences. No going out Saturday if room isn't clean by 5. When parents maintain boundaries while minimizing nagging, children learn valuable skills through efforting, practicing follow-through, organization, and cooperation. Celebration, genuine recognition of effort rather than perfection, sustains momentum for change. Children with ADHD who receive abundant negative feedback particularly benefit from acknowledgement of their daily struggles with tasks that don't come naturally. This doesn't mean excessive praise for basic responsibilities, but sincere recognition. Nice job hanging up your towel, or thanks for cooperating with curfew. School presents complex challenges for children with ADHD, as illustrated by brothers Jose and Oscar, who share the diagnosis but have different types. Oscar, primarily inattentive, loves reading but struggles with concentration and completing assignments, while Jose, combined hyperactive / inattentive, excels at math but dislikes most other subjects. Both boys demonstrate remarkable fortitude in facing daily academic demands that require them to use the executive functioning skills most affected by their ADHD. Parents must balance their own educational experiences with their child's current needs, acting as team managers who coordinate various coaches, specialists, tutors, therapists to support their child's learning. Research confirms that parent-teacher cooperation significantly improves academic success. The goal isn't to shield children from all struggles, but to develop their autonomy and competence, allowing them to experience small defeats that build resilience and courage. Jose's parents, his father Diego, who also has ADHD, and mother Juanita, a former stellar student, demonstrate effective team management by addressing their son's homework challenges. Despite preferring traditional methods of writing down assignments, they trusted a tutor's innovative suggestion to have Jose photograph homework on his iPad. By setting aside their own experiences as students and monitoring without micromanaging, they boosted Jose's executive functioning and academic success. Handling homework hassles starts with parental self-control. For ADHD kids, the homework monster triggers avoidance, aggression, and tears. Technology compounds the problem. Multitasking with phones and social media disrupts focus, taking 10 to 15 minutes to regain concentration after each interruption. The solution begins with understanding that ADHD children need brain breaks after school, but with clear time limits. Medication timing may need adjustment to ensure effectiveness during homework hours. Having children tackle harder assignments first when medication is still active helps, as does using visual timers for breaks. Understanding your ADHD child's school experience requires listening to their perspective with compassion. 8-year-old Terrell enjoys reading in recess but struggles with having to sit still, saying, "I have to control myself, and then the energy goes right out of my belly." 17-year-old Kayla loves school and excels academically, yet her father resists her ADHD diagnosis because it conflicts with his image of her as brilliant, organized, and perfect. Alex, 13, describes focusing as a constant state of my head being just above water. Building compassion about school requires listening to what kids with ADHD say about their most common academic trouble spots. Children express varied experiences with reading, from Jaden, who lacks patience to finish books but loves being read to Tiana, who hyperfocuses while reading, to older students like Xavier and Destiny, who struggle with reading disabilities and embarrassment about reading aloud. Math difficulties vary among ADHD children, from Jade's struggles with operations and fractions to Sanjay's embarrassment about asking for help, while some, like Anthony, excel in math despite challenges in other areas. Proper assessment of math skills is crucial, as auditory and visual processing difficulties or challenges with spatial relationships can impact performance. Children with ADHD described writing challenges in vivid terms, from Jack feeling trapped inside the page with no words to Kia experiencing physical discomfort while writing but enjoying storytelling. Many kids with ADHD struggle with writing because it requires simultaneous executive functioning skills, prioritizing ideas, retrieving information, planning, sequencing, organizing, managing time, and persisting towards goals. Effective school solutions require genuine collaboration between families, educators, and students themselves. When addressing classroom challenges, a two-meeting approach proves effective. First, a meeting between parents and school staff to share observations and brainstorm interventions. Second, a meeting that includes the child to gather their perspective and co-create solutions. The chapter illustrates this process through Amelia's case, an 8-year-old with ADHD and language processing difficulties who struggles with reading. By involving Amelia in the conversation, her teacher discovers she finds reading boring and hard, and they collaboratively develop a plan to start with shorter reading periods and gradually build stamina. This collaborative approach creates buy-in from all parties and addresses the specific challenges Amelia faces. For effective homework management with ADHD children, parents should offer meaningful incentives tied to quality time together. Despite appearances, children value parental attention, whether through games, reading together, or watching shows they enjoy. When creating homework plans, parents should establish clear guidelines with dual options: a positive outcome, like watching a favorite show together, or a constructive alternative, like cleaning a room together. The plan should include appropriate work periods with timed breaks of no more than 10 minutes, with parents initially working alongside their child during family work time to ensure focus. Using a structured homework form helps children prioritize assignments, identify materials needed, and track difficulty levels. Parents should avoid criticizing work methods during study time, instead offering suggestions casually at other times. Consistency means reliably doing what you say without pressuring yourself to be perfect. Children with ADHD particularly benefit from dependable routines that mirror school's structured environment: same daily workspace, manageable time limits, and breaks with timers. These routines foster essential executive functioning skills like prioritizing, planning, and persistence. Routines nurture persistence, the ability to complete tasks, by providing essential structure that children with ADHD rely on to organize their lives. Persistence depends on efforting and resilience, qualities children need to approach challenging academic tasks and recover from setbacks. While successes boost confidence, boring or overwhelming schoolwork can lead to discouragement and avoidance of effort to eliminate possible failure. Children report various strategies for perseverance: parental encouragement, studying with music, positive self-talk, and working with friends. parents practicing consistency act like support vans following cyclists, providing necessary guidance without controlling the direction, helping maintain reliable routines while staying calm through obstacles and forgiving themselves when they falter. Through Malik's story, we see how children with ADHD struggle with emotional regulation. When his music teacher told him to shut up, Malik followed his agreed-upon plan by leaving class when upset, but later expressed his feelings in an essay that was misinterpreted as a threat. The resulting punishment, losing computer privileges for 2 months, triggered an explosive reaction at home where he felt safe to release his emotions. As Malik explained, "I hold it together at school because I know if I don't, I will get in big trouble. I will get expelled. I can't get expelled from home." Emotions drive action, and when children with ADHD experience emotional flooding, their ability to make good choices gets overwhelmed. This amygdala hijack occurs when the brain's emotional center detects a threat and triggers the fight-or-flight response within 20 milliseconds, far faster than the 300 milliseconds needed for conscious awareness. During these moments, the prefrontal cortex, the brain's director, goes offline, allowing feelings to dominate. While uncomfortable feelings like anger, anxiety, and disappointment can be distressing, they have valuable flip sides. Anger reveals energy, passion, and sensitivity. Anxiety demonstrates imagination and future planning. Disappointment shows the existence of goals and motivation. Dr. Halliwell calls these mirror traits, the positive aspects of ADHD symptoms. For example, distractibility becomes turbocharged curiosity, and hyperactivity transforms into energy. Children with ADHD describe being completely overtaken by intense emotions. 10-year-old Deng smiles when angry, but sometimes kicks walls or slams doors. Henry, 16, feels constantly overwhelmed, describing his state as "my head just above water." 12-year-old Carly can't quiet her racing thoughts even at bedtime. Kids with ADHD frequently leap from recognizing their mistakes to seeing themselves as fundamentally deficient. They need help separating their feelings from self-criticism. Like Malik, who mumbled, "I suck," while cleaning his sister's room, they interpret situations more harshly than warranted. Children must learn to externalize negative thinking, treating it as separate from themselves, like having a mental crossing guard who warns, "Dangerous, put down traffic in the road, turn around." When children with ADHD feel overwhelmed by emotions, they need to get their director back in charge by activating thinking skills. The stop, think, act approach helps children learn to stop and breathe first, reflect on options second, and act third. This process engages the thinking brain during emotional storms and can be implemented through the 5 C's, beginning with self-control. 14-year-old Aisha describes her sophisticated mess, a room that appears chaotic to others but makes perfect sense to her. Her mother, Tanya, describes their ongoing battles over cleanliness standards, with Aisha resenting intrusions into her space while Tanya worries about health hazards. They've reached a compromise where Tanya leaves sticky note reminders instead of cleaning herself, and occasionally they tackle bigger projects together. Privately, Aisha admits her cleaning method involves strategically moving piles around until the room looks better than it did before. Parents should recognize that their children's executive functioning challenges may mirror their own. This shared understanding builds compassion and patience. By comparing executive functioning strengths and weaknesses across areas like self-regulation, organization, time management, sustained attention, and working memory, families can discuss similarities, differences, and strategies that might work for everyone. Children with ADHD struggle with procrastination due to lower dopamine levels that affect motivation, especially for unpleasant tasks. Their perception of time is distorted, divided simply into now or not now, making it difficult to estimate how long activities take. The author recommends teaching time management through backward design, planning in reverse from the desired completion time, and breaking tasks into manageable increments. Children with ADHD often struggle to follow multi-step instructions because of working memory challenges, distractibility, and difficulty sequencing tasks. The rule of three provides an effective framework for delivering instructions that engage multiple brain pathways. Looking, get down to your child's eye level. Listening, state your request clearly. And speaking, ask your child to repeat your instructions twice. Morning and evening routines are essential for reducing family conflict and promoting independence for children with ADHD. While single tasks benefit from the rule of three, sequential activities like preparing for school require visual checklists that children can reference independently. The key to successful routines is collaborative development. When children participate in creating routines, they gain ownership and investment in the process. Children with ADHD universally struggle with disorganization and messiness. 9-year-old Tiana claims it's actually easier to find stuff when it's messy, while 17-year-old Brianna laments how her room becomes disgusting within a week without her understanding how it happened. Effective organization strategies include keeping common spaces uncluttered to reduce overall sensory overload, providing clearly labeled bins in visible locations, using specific language like put your hat in your cubby rather than vague directions like put it away, and reducing visual choices by rotating toys and belongings. Social relationships present unique challenges for children with ADHD who often struggle with reading social cues, understanding appropriate boundaries, and managing impulse control in social situations. While some children, like 17-year-old Jasmine, naturally excel socially, I'm extroverted, charming, and charismatic, others, like 13-year-old Elijah, feel perpetually excluded. There are 16 ways people don't like me. Many children with ADHD struggle to understand the nuances of different relationship types, from acquaintances to close friends, and may misinterpret appropriate levels of intimacy. 15-year-old Marlon defines friendship as somebody who puts up with me and doesn't recognize that behaviors like tickling strangers crosses social boundaries. When social difficulties escalate to bullying, thoughtful parental involvement becomes essential. Parents should help children understand the critical difference between teasing, lighthearted jokes among friends, and taunting, aggressive acts meant to cause harm. 9-year-old Levi articulates this distinction when describing his bully. You know how teasing is okay if you do a little, but once it crosses into insulting, it's not okay. He crosses that line a lot. Teens with ADHD face heightened risks for substance use and unsafe sexual behaviors. Their neurological differences, delayed brain maturity, impulsivity challenges, and focus on immediate pleasure rather than future consequences make them particularly vulnerable. Many teens with ADHD pursue these activities not just for gratification, but to gain acceptance, appear cool, or compensate for feelings of inadequacy. As Anthony explains, "My brain doesn't like to stop thinking. It's always working and jumping from subject to subject. When you're high, it's just kind of quiet and relaxed." Technology presents unique challenges for children with ADHD who are particularly drawn to digital stimulation. For them, online spaces have replaced malls and community centers as social hubs where they develop interests and socialize. Kids with ADHD are particularly vulnerable to technology risks due to their impulsivity and difficulty considering consequences. Their now/not-now brains make them less likely to grasp that online actions leave permanent digital footprints. For children with ADHD, the easy-on, easy-off approach provides structure for managing screen transitions. Instead of ineffective threats that damage credibility, this method establishes clear expectations and meaningful incentives. The system works by setting a baseline of guaranteed screen time, like 1 hour daily, that isn't removed for misbehavior, plus bonus time, like 30 minutes, earned through cooperative transitions. Computer games particularly appeal to kids with ADHD because they provide engaging activities with clear objectives and immediate success. 9-year-old Seth explains, "When I get to play Mario Kart or Xbox, I just calm down and focus. It's really interesting, like you can actually learn real stuff." The seduction lies in constantly advancing to the next level, creating a perfect match for the ADHD tendency to overfocus. For older children and teens, online social life is real social life. Without their phones, teens feel anxious and disconnected. Anna, 15, remarks, When I don't have my phone, I'm more anxious than normal because I have it all the time, so it's like I'm missing my underwear or something. The voices of children with ADHD offer powerful guidance for parents. Their insights emphasize the importance of patience, listening, affection, trust, and redirection, the five C's of ADHD parenting: self-control, compassion, collaboration, consistency, and celebration. Though implementing these approaches may initially seem challenging, with practice, these strategies become habits that foster connection, teach life skills, and build self-esteem. Children with ADHD consistently express their desire to be heard, and acknowledging their concerns, even without always agreeing, is crucial for securing their participation in solutions. The author offers encouraging follow-ups on previously interviewed children, showing their progress. Camilla found friends at an arts magnet school. Jose now earns good grades with proper support. Maisie's sleep anxiety has improved. Malik rarely gets in trouble at school. And older teens like Kayla, Ethan, and Henry are finding their paths despite challenges. The book concludes with powerful advice from young people with ADHD to others sharing their condition. Their messages emphasize perseverance, self-acceptance, and resilience. As Ivan, 17, eloquently states, "You're a human being, you're equal to everybody, and you can accomplish what you want, when you want. You just really have to work for it."